Good morning. Before we begin, just one announcement concerning next week. Next week is another special week. Some of you, many of you, should remember Greg and Diane Decker. Those of you who have come in the last 2 years, you won't know them. They were with us for about 2 years, left a little over 2 years ago. This is a couple who were involved with Bible translation work with Wycliffe Bible Translators. They were here with us in the city for 2 years. So next week, beginning at 10 o'clock, Greg will share with us some of their experiences in the last few years. And then again, he will be ministering to us at 11 o'clock. So another special week. We had one last week, and now we have another one next week. Okay, so that should be a very good time. We felt it was kind of important because most likely after this visit to Toronto, other than us, there's no reason for them to come to Toronto. So the possibility of them coming would probably be remote. So we thought we should take the advantage of their time with us. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning again, needing you, wanting you, desiring you, wanting to know and hear something from your word. Lord, we pray your word would speak to us. It would affect us. It would affect our hearts, affect our minds. And Lord, is there something that we should do? Lord, make that known to us. If there's something we shouldn't do, make that known to us. Lord, we need you. We pray your word would be something that changes our life, not just something we hear, not something for our interest, but more something for our life and our living. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, guess what? We come to the last chapter of the book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. This may be the last message. It may not be. Can't guarantee anything. See how well I do this morning. But we are for sure coming to the end. And it's also coming to the end of the year, right? Kind of works out together. So, title of this message this morning is just one word. Come. Come. Because that is the message that this book ends with. Come. Okay, so maybe we just, let's just kind of a little brief looking at this book, Revelation, as a whole. In chapter 1 of Revelation, we have this verse in verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is coming, the Almighty. Then the last chapter, verse 13, says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, almost all Bible scholars agree in one thing, and that is this. Whenever God says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that means he's not only the beginning and not only the end, but he's everything in between. So we have this phrase in English, which actually probably comes from the Bible, and that is from A to Z. What does that mean? It means everything, the beginning and the end and everything in the middle, from A to Z. Includes not just A, Alpha, and Omega is the last letter of the Greek word, of the Greek alphabet. It's not just the beginning and the end. It's the beginning and the end and everything in between. So when God says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, I'm the beginning and the end, I'm the first and I'm the last, and he's everything in the middle as well. Okay? But what's interesting in this book of Revelation, you've got this two Alpha, Omega, and it's also chapter 1 and chapter 22. We have a new word for you. It's called inclusio. That means it's absolutely inclusive. Includes beginning and end and everything in the middle. Now, let's go back to those two verses. The Revelation chapter 1 says, he's the Alpha, the Omega, who is, who was, and who is coming. Verse 13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Where's the coming? Well, the thought here is, he has come. He's no more is coming. He has come. Therefore, there's no need for is coming. But the beginning of the book, he is coming. He's coming. What is he doing? He is bringing, in this whole book, he is coming, bringing salvation. He's also bringing judgment. In this book, you have both salvation and judgment. But it ends with salvation. We'll get to that later. Okay, then, something else here, and that is in chapter 21, verse 3. We covered this a few weeks ago. It says, then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. So when God's coming not only brings salvation, but God's coming brings himself dwelling with humanity. This is living with humanity. This is the eternal picture. The picture of eternity is God comes, not only bringing salvation, but God comes to dwell, to live with his people. This is the picture we see at the end. So the theme of this book, you could say, the theme of the book of Revelation is the coming of a person. The coming of God, or you could say the coming of God and the Lamb. Because this phrase, the throne of God and the Lamb, is repeated again and again. God and the Lamb, God and the Lamb. So the theme of this book is the coming of God. And we'll say the theme of this book is not merely events happening. Yes, there are events that happen. But the focus of this book is not the happening of events or the coming events. The focus of this book is a person. So we have this little quote. It says from this guy, from Quiggle. How would you like that for a last name? Thank you. I'll take Martin any day. Perhaps the most important thing we can glean is that the Revelation, the book of Revelation, is not an event. It is a person. It's a person. And how can we substantiate that? Revelation 1:1 begins, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of what's going to happen at the end time. It's the revelation of a person, Jesus Christ. It's a person. That's Revelation 1:1. How does this book end? This book ends with, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It doesn't end with, come, whatever's going to happen. No, a person, come, Lord Jesus. So, this book is mainly a book, again, beginning of the book, end of the book, a person. Let's not forget that. Okay, so now let's just come to Revelation chapter 22. We're going to read the first five verses. Then he showed me the river of living water, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the broad street of the city. The tree of life was on both sides of the river, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for healing the nations. And there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his slaves will serve him. They will see his face. Hey, isn't that good? They will see his face. You know, this is the only time in the Bible we get to see God's face. And his name will be on their foreheads. Night will no longer exist, and people will not need lamplight or sunlight, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Okay. So, these few verses give us a bit of a picture or a vision of eternity. What is this vision? Well, first of all, God has come.
Yes.
We get to chapter 22. God has arrived. He has come. And what do we see? We see, let's go back to the previous slide. We see a river of living water. We see a tree of life. We see that tree has leaves and they are for the healing of the nations. And we see the throne of God and the Lamb. This is what we see. This is a picture of eternity. Water, tree, leaves, healing, and the throne of God. This is what we see in the picture of eternity. This is the scene that we see. So this chapter is kind of interesting. It takes you these first five verses. This is the scene in heaven. And then it's kind of coming back. It's kind of saying, we're looking at the future. Now we're coming back to the present, considering the present from the perspective of the future. We see what's happening, what's going to happen, what's going to be, not, but we're still here today. And so the end of this book is kind of coming back. Okay, you've seen it. You got a clear picture. We're here today. Now what? Now what? We should live with the view that Jesus is coming. So, chapter 22, verse 7. Actually, in the last part of this chapter, this matter of coming soon is mentioned three times. Here we go. Verse 7 says, "And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Verse 12, "Behold, I am coming soon." This is should be red letter edition, right? "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done." Then, verse 20, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon." And then John's response is, "Amen, come Lord Jesus." Coming soon, coming soon. This is how this book ends, coming soon. Then, what's interesting here is we have this verse, which probably you're very familiar with, verse 17. And we're going to kind of spend a bit of time in this verse part by part. First of all, the first part of this verse, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." We'll just stop there for a minute, okay? The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Well, I think most of us are not, we don't have too much trouble with the Spirit. Who is this bride that's referred to here in this verse? Who is the bride? Based on the context of this book, especially the last two chapters. In chapter 21, it says, verse 2, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And then in verse 9, it says, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Who is this bride in this book? Based on the context, it is the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. That's the context. So we have this quote from Richard Bauckham I think is helpful. Helps us give a proper understanding. The bride is not the sum of the Christian congregations observable in the world at the end of the first century when this book was written. In other words, the churches of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, and the rest. The bride is the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God. The church at the end. It's what's at the end. The bride is at the end, not the bride in the first century or even today. It's not the church today. It's what is at the end. The New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. It's the end result, not the one present today. So this is the bride that together with the Spirit says, come. But it's saying, actually, it's not telling the Lord to come. It's then said saying what? It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. They're declaring, in a sense, to the whole universe, come. Right? Okay. Then, I will come to this morning. This book is expecting our response. This book ends. The whole Bible ends with an expectation of a response from us. What is that response? In verse 7, we had this verse before. Behold, I am coming soon. Then it says, blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Keep the words. And actually, this is repeated from the first chapter of the Bible, of Revelation, sorry. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it. There's a call in this book to respond to something. To what? To the word. The word. Keep the word, read the word in chapter 1, read the word, hear the word, keep the word. In chapter 22, it's keep the word. Keep the word. Now, I'd like to ask you this question this morning, all of us. What do you think it means to keep the word? What word are you going to keep? What word? What's the word you're going to keep? It's not, you know, we have this expression, oh, you need to keep your word. No, that's not what we're talking about. That's your word. It says keep the word. What is the word to keep? And how are you going to keep that word? How are you going to know what is the word to keep? Sorry, may I digress here for a moment? I'm trying to watch my time today. Let me say this. If the only time that you read the Bible is off the screen on Sunday morning, you've got a problem. Admit it, you've got a problem. Why? Because that word that you read on the screen for 30 seconds, you're not going to be able to keep. Because it's not with you. It's not in you. If you want God's word to make a difference in your life, you got to have it like you eat food, physical food. You need it regularly, repetitively. Otherwise, what is the word you're going to keep? Singing songs is not enough. You got to have the Bible. If you're going to grow in the Christian life, you've got to have the Word as part of your regular diet. If you don't have God's Word as part of your regular diet, you will not grow well as a Christian. Read the Word. Hear the Word. Keep the Word. What do we mean by here? You read the Word. What is God speaking to you from the book? Not from your imagination. If you tell me, God told me so and so, show me from the Bible what God told you. If it's not here, how do I know God told you, or if it's your imagination or wishful thinking? Am I giving you a hard time? Let's admit it. If we don't have the word, you can kid yourself all you want, but you will not be grounded as a Christian. Sorry, I wasn't going to go here. Let me just go quickly. Psalm chapter 1. Sorry, I'm borrowing from my prayer class. Blessed is the man, I'm going to just skim. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, which is God's word. On his law he meditates day and night. Guess what happens when he meditates on the word day and night? He is like a tree planted by streams of water. Yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. Why? It's like a tree by a stream. It's there. The source of supply is there. That tree is drinking. Its roots are drinking from that water all the time. What is the result? It's a tree. It's planted. It bears fruit. Its leaves are never wither. It grows. It's healthy. What is our supply? Our supply is God's word. Okay, let me come back to Revelation before I get run out of time. What's the word to keep in this chapter? Basically, two things. Number one, it is verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. And this echoes chapter 7 of Revelation. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What does it mean to wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb? It means to know and experience the salvation and redemption that God has provided. The blood of the Lamb. Daily we appreciate God's salvation for us. He died for us. He redeemed us. He forgave us our sins. He is cleansing us. He is sanctifying us. The whole process of God's salvation. Because we enjoy this salvation, we have the right to enter the city. We have a right to partake of the tree of life. If you have not received Christ as your Savior, if you have not acknowledged Him as your Redeemer, do so. Wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb. Then you will have right to the tree of life. There's a condition to the tree of life, getting to the tree of life. There's a condition to entering the city. There's a condition to have your name in the Lamb's book of life. It's not automatic. Wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb. The second thing in this chapter, there is a call to come and drink. Let's come back to verse 17 again. It says, let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires, take the water of life without price. Come, drink. There's something free to take, to drink from. Actually, this is an echo back to Isaiah chapter 55, 1 to 3, which is a really wonderful verse. Let's read this all together with a strong enjoyment. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. So you realize, John, I think, had something of Isaiah in mind when he wrote that at the end of Revelation. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He has no money. Come, buy and eat. In other words, spend the money you don't have on something that doesn't cost anything. Anyway, come, buy wine, buy milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? In other words, has no value. You labor for that which does not satisfy. Eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. This is the call to come. Come. So the book ends, come, 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 drink, eat, wash your robes. God's salvation is provided. Now come and enjoy God's salvation richly, freely. Then we have, let's go back to verse 17 again. We have this little phrase, and let the one who hears say, come. What does this imply? This implies the hearers of God's word join in the call for Jesus to come. We have a little quote here I think helps explain this. The man, do we have it? The man, I'll read it. The man who joins the Spirit's prayer for the Lord's coming is directing his life in faith towards that promise. The one who joins the Spirit's prayer, the one who hears, that's the one who joins the Spirit's prayer for the Lord's coming, what has happened? He is directing his life. I hear the Lord's coming. I hear I need to keep his word. Okay, I'm directing my life accordingly. Therefore, I also say, come. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. This is how the book ends. It's a response, asking for a response from us. keep the word, hear the word, read the word, keep it. Wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb and drink what God has provided, calling for him to come. Amen. Now's a good time to have the Lord's table, because we have washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. This is related to the Lord's salvation he provided for us. In Matthew, when Jesus was having the Last Supper, the Passover, with his disciples, he took the bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Then he adds, "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And this is why we can respond with the Spirit and say, "Come, Lord Jesus." Amen. Come, so that we can drink anew with him in his kingdom, in the Father's kingdom.